as early in the relationship, start talking about goals. When you meet someone and you're serious enough that you can start imagining spending more time with them, you can see this relationship has legs. Start asking them about their goals.
Welcome to Girl Gone Frugal again. I'm your host, Michelle Jackson. Thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. Even though this podcast is really geared towards single women and single women's money, sooner or later, a lot of single women will be married or paired up. And I thought that was worth having a conversation about, because a lot of our financial decisions that we make as single people will have consequences or just will affect someone else later in our lives. Today, I sit down and I speak with a friend of mine, Elle Martinez, about coupled money. She's actually from Couple Money, and I think that it'll be a great conversation and you'll get a lot out of it. By the way, Girl Gone Frugal Again is a proud affiliate of Personal Capital. If you're trying to get your money right but are having a terrible time tracking it, you can't figure out where your money's going, use Personal Capital. It's a free system to track your finances, know your net worth, and help you stay on track financially so that you're building your future $1 at a time. Click on the link in the show notes, sign up, it is free. Keep track of your money. Don't let your money take control of you. Welcome to Girl Gone Frugal Again. I am your host, Michelle Jackson, and today's episode is really special to me because I am getting back from a slight case of pod fade, which means I kind of disappeared for a little while. Today I'm speaking with my dear friend, Elle Martinez from Couple Money. Probably wondering, well, don't you talk to single women about their money? Yes, I do, but a lot of single women will eventually become couples of some sort. So I wanted to speak with my friend Elle, celebrate a huge win that she's currently experiencing. And everyone, please just take a seat, listen to this episode. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's a wonderful episode to start courting again and talking about all things single women and money, ironically, with Elle from Couple Money. Hi, Elle.
Hi, Michelle. So good to chat with you.
I am so excited to share your story, have you school us on some things, and to also celebrate your win. So if you could please let people know about who you are and what you talk about.
Sure. So I'm Elle Martinez. I'm the creator and host of Couple Money, which is a podcast and website dedicated to helping spouses work together on building their wealth. And a lot of the principles I do teach apply to anybody. Of course, with couples, there's always this added layer, you know, with any relationship of equals where you're trying to respect one another, try to get together and be on the same page while still understanding that you're two separate people. So basically, I wrote this book because I'm in the path on the path of financial independence, but I'm more interested in financial freedom, if that makes sense. Building wealth is kind of a side effect of the path that I'm going on. And I had written this book basically because I interview couples who've done extraordinary things with their finances. And I found that there were so many different patterns that kept coming up, habits that they had that can help not only couples, but also single people as they progress, get out of debt, save for their dreams, and maybe retire early if they want to.
And actually, you mentioned this a couple times. The Win That We're Talking About, Ladies, is the book that Elle wrote. And Elle, if you could share the name of the book, and we'll share a link as well and talk about how you can purchase it. But what's the name of your book, which I'm really excited to read?
I'm so excited. I'm nerding out on it. It's Jumpstart Your Marriage and Your Money, because it's such a huge source of stress when you talk about finances and love and relationships. I wanted newlyweds and also just couples who are rebooting to have the essentials they need to get on the same page and build wealth together.
And how on earth did you even get into this? Like, why were you writing? Why did you begin writing about money? And could you kind of walk us through your story? Like, what happened before the book came to be?
This book is like years in the making. Like many personal finance bloggers, you and I know in the community, it started, first of all, from a personal need. And even before I was married, I had a personal finance blog that I had written as a working college student. And the situation was,
I have no idea.
Yes, I sold that because, very long story short, my mother-in-law found out about that.
Oh.
And she's very sweet, very nice. But I had heard feedback from my brother-in-law that she was asking him questions about his finances. And yeah, it was interesting. But like I said, like I started that before we got married. Actually, when we got engaged, we thought we were going to do the responsible thing and talk about our finances. And now looking back, I see where we did a great thing. We're open about our numbers, but we weren't having another conversation. But I discovered I was way deep in debt compared to my fiance at the time. I had credit cards. I had a car loan. And like I mentioned, I was a working college student, so I really shouldn't have had that car loan. And I had some student loans for the last 2 years. And he had one student loan from one semester that he was going to pay off once that grace period was over.
Wow.
So I immediately knew I needed to change things. So I started that personal finance blog because I'm a competitive person. And I said, okay, before we get married, I'm going to pay off my credit card debt. So that was my initial focus with personal finance, and I started that. And then I started Couple Money because I saw lots of good information out there, lots of great sites and podcasts that talk about finances in general, but nothing that captured the complexity, those awkward moments, those wins of being, being in it together as a married spouse.
So talk about share a little bit about what your financial identity was like before you became a couple. And what were some of the things that you brought to the relationship besides the debt, like expectations mm-hmm. or ideas that surprised you? And what did you do to kind of merge your money with your husband? Or when you were just dating, like what could you kind of walk us through that?
Well, I will say like, looking back, I realized I had in my mind certain expectations, and I think we all kind of get caught up in that. For me, I was really good. Like, I've always been someone who, if I have a very specific goal, I can save and make money for that specific goal. So in terms of before I was dating my husband and, you know, when it was me, if you told me to save for retirement, I did, but I did the bare minimum. I felt like it was very abstract. It was very far away. It's like something I'll do later. But I was great about saving for specific things, like certain trips or, you know, paying ahead of time. And once I got on the page of, I need to dump this debt, bam, I'm on it. So I'm a very, like, action-oriented person, you can say. But I wasn't directing my energy the correct way. And then another thing was like just having this expectation, well, if I can afford the payments, then I can afford it. That mindset, you know, because I had, it's not like we say it out loud, but for me, you know, I kept thinking, well, everyone has a mortgage, you know, everyone has a car loan. That's not true. But even if they did, even if everyone else around me did, that doesn't necessarily mean that has to be my path. So I think my problem at first was not establishing what I truly wanted. I was kind of in the thick of life. It's a lot of things going on, but we always do, right? We always have something going on, taking care of family. My grandmother was ill, some time off of college to take care of her. And so I realize now that I could have done a better job establishing what are my values, what do I really want, and cut out everything else as much as possible, and focus on those goals. And that applies whether you're married or not, because that's in my book too. Like, what is your goals? Just because someone's going to do this and you're supposed to do this and buy a house and you have this step. I didn't do a good job of that. And my husband he had some good points. Like I said, he didn't have a lot of debt, but he wasn't also investing or really so much saving, as he was very particular about what he spent money on. So I think that was something we had to learn together. And that it took a while. Like, we got certain things right on marriage. We're like, let's minimize the debt that we take on. Let's pay down the car loan. Let's avoid credit card debt and see what happens there. But I don't think we had a big goal in mind at first.
You know what I was thinking about? So one of the topics that I want to explore, that you kind of mentioned in passing, but is really relevant for single women, is that their money isn't separate from other people's. And you talked about how you took time off to help your grandmother. And I'm really curious to know if you feel like sharing a little bit of how that impacted your finances and how that impacted your conversations with your future husband. Like, was he understanding of that? Have you had situations as a married person where you're now, you know, other people's money, other relatives kind of impact you? And what's that conversation like when you're dating versus when you're married?
That's a very good question. I have to say, I've always been someone that puts family and friends first. And my husband is good because he's helped me establish boundaries and doing a better job with that. And at the same time, I've helped him because I helped him kind of widen out in terms of like helping people. And it wasn't that he was being stingy. He was just like, well, I need to take care of these goals first that we have, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-hmm. And then I've gotten a lot wiser now in terms of what there's certain people in your lives, whether it's family or friends, that seem to keep having emergencies. And I'm not talking about someone who is seriously struggling in terms of circumstances have completely ruined them, but it's people just not making wise decisions. And he helped me see that I'm enabling them by continuing to do that. And so at first it was I wouldn't call it like we weren't having fights, but it was a tension because we were disagreeing. We were coming at this from completely different perspectives. So to give you an example, and of course, this is just me. I do not want to speak for all Hispanic families. I don't want that burden, but in our family, it was this expectation that, you know, generations take care of each other. And yes, my family, my mom and my dad were, you know, born and raised in New York. So they're more Americanized, as they say. But there's still this idea that if I ever need help, I have my kids to rely on, or, my grandkids to rely on. And that was fine for me because I knew that, but I didn't necessarily like tell that to my husband because I wasn't even thinking that until we did have a situation where family needed help. And so I realized, oh, I got to talk this over because it's coming from our joint account.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, if it's here and there, you know, my personal account, because we have fund money uh-huh. and it's small here and there. But I think that was, to me, I was more nervous than he was. And this was an opportunity actually for him to step up, and he did, and I'm glad he did. But we learned also that not only do we need to establish what we want to do, but the reason why. And I think in any relationship, that is so important, because it's hard to be on the same page when you don't know where you're coming from. And so when I started explaining, hey, these are the expectations and so forth, and he, I mean, he loves my family, so he's always there to help him out. It just became easier to say, okay, we can do that. But then he also was, again, helping me with the boundaries, which is, we can do this amount, and then we'll still be okay, and your family will be helped somewhat.
Right.
Because I think, and, you know, maybe this, I don't want to be an overgeneralization, but women tend to be just caregivers, especially, I know with my family and Hispanic culture, you know, you take care of everybody, and then you pay your bills, and then you save. But then he was helping me say, like, how can you take care of, you know, your mom or your brother and sister or your friends, your grandmother, if you're not in a good financial spot? And the illustration that you've probably heard that actually kind of hit it for me was, think about it, if you're on an airplane, and you know how they always say, if something happens, put the oxygen over yourself first.
That's right.
Before helping the person next to you. And so that was something I needed to learn, and then also needed to respect that sometimes the best option is maybe encouragement to help them out, if you want to help them out as tools. As I got more comfortable learning about finances than just to give them money.
You know, it's really interesting, because I think that there are a lot of similarities with Black culture, African-American, however you want to call it, where mm-hmm. as women, we in that culture, and it's broad generalization, you may not agree if you're a Black woman listening to this, but I found with a lot of women where we're kind of rescuing everyone. And there's a point where that rescue ends up having us drown. Do you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. so as a person who's, you know, I'm a single woman, I've had to help people out, I've had to help my mother out, I've talked about this, and I feel very thankful that I was able to do that, but that was at a financial cost to me. And at this, and partly because I didn't know a lot of, I didn't have the tools that you share in your book. So I knew how to work hard. I knew how to be an ethical and good person. I knew how to be there for the people that I loved, but I didn't have lessons on really good cash management, because no one taught me. Like, I was taught to work hard. That was it. And so I wasn't taught to save money. I was taught to work hard. Mm-hmm. I was taught to be a good kid, a good daughter, a good grandkid. But again, those financial tools that you share in your book, those weren't tools that I had. And so when I was helping, you know, I didn't have all the tools. And so I would use tools, quote unquote, out there that weren't advantageous to me, that harmed me. So I would use credit and things like that, and just be overwhelmed because I was making the situation worse. Now in hindsight, I think that for me, that was part of my financial journey, but I'm glad that you've created a tool for people who, now you've met someone, you're with someone, but maybe you're like, wow, like, I have all these things coming into this, and you've got all this stuff coming into this in terms of how you think about money. How do we get that merged together? And so I love how the first chapter is Jumpstart Your Dream. I think it is. And
yes.
How do you kind of forgive yourself for the lessons or the knowledge that you have, and then move forward as a couple and not be hard on one another about some of the mistakes that you may or may not have made?
I think we're so afraid. Like, sometimes I feel like couples go the opposite. Like, they're always fighting about money, or they don't even discuss it because they don't want to fight about money. but I think sitting down and accepting your past, and this is, again, I'm talking about couples and married couples, because that's the focus on the book, but the principles are the same. And, you know, before you're in a relationship, really, we always talk about, you know, have that self-confidence, take care of yourself, be in a good spot. And being a good spot financially is also so crucial before you get into a relationship, if you can do that. But it's just establishing where do you want to go. So I write about personal finance, and I've written this so you can become financially independent. But even before the numbers, I think we need to start off with what's most important to me. Mm. And that is a big question that's hard to tackle. So I say, what do you want to accomplish in the next year? Some questions to ask also are, if money were no object, how would you be spending your days? I think we tend to give so much weight and guilt, and we have shame over the money mistakes we make, but they're take away the money. They're just mistakes. You know, why are we shaming ourselves over mistakes? We're imperfect. So pretend and treat yourself like you would your best friend. You know, give him a hug, like, shake it off, you can do this. Say that to yourself. But I also like think about your goals and your dreams almost like planning a epic vacation. You're like, okay, what am I going to do? Let's see where I'm at. And you plan where you want to go, but then you see where you are, but there's no like guilt, like, oh my goodness, I only have $5 in the bank account. You go, okay, well, that's $5 I already have saved for this trip. You know, it's a mindset shift. It's a process, but you have to give yourself grace and say, okay, that's what I did yesterday, but today I'm going to make a better decision because I know better.
What happens if what you dream about and what your spouse dreams about is really different and you're surprised by that? Like, how do you get to the middle ground financially? Oh,
yes. Well, that happens a lot, especially at the beginning of a relationship. I'll give you an example, something not related to the goal specifically, but the assumption I have, because we always have assumptions when we don't talk about stuff in a relationship. There's always like we fill in the gap somehow. So when we were dating, I honestly thought, and he did too, that we were both on the same page with how our finances were going because it looked the same. Uh-huh. And so when you have, and then we found out, no, that's not true. but with goals, it's like, well, obviously you would want to do X and Y. And we fill in the blank with what we think is the, quote, normal or most logical thing as a goal. And their spouse is like, no, I grew up this way. So I say for couples, the first thing you need to do is find one goal that you can agree on. And you may find that it is not that big goal that you really want to work on, like retirement or early retirement, but it's something small like saving up enough money so one of you could quit your job if you need to. I want couples and any relationship, you need to find something that you're working together and you're on the same page together. And from there, you're going to start having conversations without the tension of, okay, we can't agree on this. But you start seeing each other's strengths and weaknesses and you start shoring them up. And then from there, you can expand. Because I think there are a few things where you're like, well, how's that going to work out? But in most cases, I've seen couples work out very interesting ways. Like, for example, one couple might have one of the spouses wants to travel when they retire, like loves to travel. And the other one's like, I'd rather be in the mountains writing my little novel. That's, you know, that's what I want to do. So what they do is they find a way to have a home base, might be in the mountains, and X amount of time of the year, that's where they are. And then the rest of the time they travel. I mean, any relationship, you're going to have compromises. You're not going to get everything that you want, but you also find out that you don't necessarily want to get your way all the way. You want to have some time for yourself, some time for what you enjoy, but you also want to have that person that you love with you while you do it, or it's not fun.
What would you say is a financial deal breaker? What would you consider financial infidelity?
See, I would say, and you kind of got into this, a deal breaker, basically, finances are just a symptom of something deeper that's going on. If you have someone who has a history of hiding purchases and you confront them on it and they are not taking responsibility, that's something you need to talk about. Depending on how severe it is, how much debt you're carrying, that might be something you have to get a professional counselor for. I would also say someone who's just See, stubborn is too weak of a word, but someone who just does not understand what a relationship is, like, it's not healthy. They always want to have their way. They refuse to get on a budget. You would have to get a third person. And it might not be a financial counselor. It could be also like a certified financial planner. Sit down and talk about it. But a lot of times it's, are you aligned with your values? Are you aligned with your goals? So that's my advice, is when you can, as early in the relationship, start talking about goals. When you meet someone and you're serious enough that you can start imagining spending more time with them, you can see this relationship has legs, start asking them about their goals. Start seeing what they value. So not only talk about it, but then pay attention. Are they actually following through on what they say?
Did you do the whole, like, show me your credit score, I'll show you mine?
We didn't do the credit score. I think we were both like, our credit score is going to be pretty crappy. We're just college kids, you know, and he just graduated. So. And our bank account won't be like that different. But we did. We did say, okay, this is what I'm dealing with now. We kind of showed our budgets, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So that's, and I will say this, that was an eye opener for me, because I was so focused on, like I mentioned, oh, if I can afford the payments, then I can afford it. I didn't even know the total balance.
Oh.
Like all together. So that was a great opportunity to sit and chat. And I want to say, for those that are listening, we're in much better position now. We paid off over $35,000 of debt.
I was wondering how much debt you guys tackled.
Yeah, it was over $35,000 of debt. We are working on paying our mortgage off early. I had enough of a cushion and roadway in our budget that I'm working from home. And our hope is to retire early around 41.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. And yes. What would you, so for a person who's, you know, they found the one, they're dating, they're getting serious, what would be your number one piece of advice as it pertains to money and to just dreaming about that life with that special someone?
I would say the first thing you need to do is work on something together financially. Now, I'm not saying do joint accounts before you're married. You know, you don't want to put yourself at risk in that regard. But you guys can save up for a vacation together. Or, you can work on maybe a project that you care about in the community. Maybe you want to donate X amount to a cause that matters to you guys both. The idea is, this kind of gets you a way to test the waters, see how well you work together, and also talk about finances in a comfortable way. It's not so tense. You know, there's not that immediate pressure because you're saving versus, oh, we're paying down debt or something like that. But if you are interested, maybe you guys can encourage one another and maybe pay off credit card debt together. Like, you're each other's accountability partner. Because that puts you, I mean, I wish the best, and I want the relationship to succeed. But even if it doesn't, you have put yourself in a better position financially, and also you've practiced working together in a relationship on a financial goal, which will be a big help down the line. You know, if you get married, you have those stepping stones and you have those skill sets.
What would you tell your single self about coupled money?
I would say, don't be afraid.
Like, what surprised you?
I don't want this to reflect like I was thinking so negatively on my husband. It's like, looking back, I was carrying around this weight. My parents had divorced. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of had this assumption that if it doesn't work out, I'm out.
You're like, deuces. But,
yeah, well, like, not like, how should I say? Like, there was, I think I had one foot in and one foot out, and I didn't realize that at the time. So it was like, okay, well, I'll combine my finances, but I got an out here if it goes sour. And I felt like that harmed the relationship. I wasn't going all in. I feel like you should be able to go all in with your finances and not harm yourself, you know? And so I would say, don't be afraid. You know, if something is bothering you, see what it is And in my case, it was my fears, my concerns versus the relationship. And sometimes it might be the relationship itself, and your gut is telling you something's not clicking here. You know, I don't trust, and I feel like I need to have an out. So when you feel that, face the fear and see what the cause of it is.
What would you say about, you know, gender roles and earning money? Because nowadays, a lot of women are making more money than their spouse. Is that something that warrants a conversation, or is it just something that is, or what are your thoughts about that? Because we know a lot of people who are like, they're killing it. They're hustling.
Oh, yeah.
They're just hustling. And I wonder in those cases what the conversation needs to be about, honey, I'm making this much money and now I can like retire you from your old job, which we know people who've done this. And mm-hmm. How can you keep your spouse empowered in a conversation like that?
Well, I think that goes to that foundation of what are you working on together? And also having that conversation of we're a team and our income is our income. So like for us, at our beginning of our marriage, I was making more. And so we kind of dealt with that ahead of time, but we addressed it by saying, okay, here are our goals and it's our money. I mean, it goes in the pot. And then he was making more because he got a full-time job and everything like that. So it's been back and forth. I had a friend, she actually launched a business and then it was doing so well. Her husband quit his job to work for her.
Wow.
So they got a family business over there, a gluten-free bakery.
Ooh,
awesome.
Wow.
So yeah. And they work from home. So I think it is that mindset. What are you guys working on together? And then both of you being on the conversation. And this is huge because I think too many times one person feels like maybe they're inadequate or numbers aren't their thing, that they give that responsibility to one person and then they kind of mentally check out. And that really is a disservice to the relationship and to both people because you are putting a lot of pressure on the person doing it day to day. And if they make a mistake and there's not that other person to kind of be there, things can snowball out of control. There can be some resentment. I had interviewed a couple where she thought she was doing a favor. Well, you know, my husband's so good at this. We'll work it out. And they knew that they were in debt and she knew that they were in debt. But at that point, he felt like if he kept saying no to his family, he wasn't providing as a husband.
Oh.
And so he was carrying around this guilt. She was carrying around like something's up, but I don't know what it is until they were like 3 weeks away from bankruptcy and
oh
they were $109,000 in debt. And it wasn't him gambling. It wasn't him, I wouldn't say like frivolous in a sense, like he was buying vacations for himself. It was lifestyle inflation and the family not having conversations. So they're in a much better spot now. You know, they came together, but they realized they needed to both be in. And yes, one person can have the skills and actually enjoy running the numbers, but both of you need to have a way to get together. And I promote this in the book, but like getting in the habit of money dates. It's a lot of fun talking about your dreams and working towards it together, but keep those lines of communication open because it is a protection for both of you. For the one that's handling the money and then also for the spouse, you can't give that up. That is, I'm not saying your spouse is intentionally trying to ruin your finances, but that is one of the benefits of marriage is you have your partner who can shore up any weakness that you have.
Elle, I loved our conversation.
I want you to
maybe just, if you could share all of your social media. I will, of course, include a link to Amazon so that people can purchase the book. Because when is it being released? I want to make sure that I have the right date.
June 13th. It's going to
be
released. So wedding season. So
holy
if you need
moly.
A gift to give, that's a great gift to give.
Yes, yes.
Load
please, people,
but
share
but
with
also,
your friends.
make sure you give the book along with something else. Don't just give the book to your friends.
Yeah, that would be kind of like, yeah.
Put it like a slow cooker. Put it with like, you know, a smoothie, you know, wrap it around.
With that Vitamix.
Make a little bundle, Vitamix, you know, put it in a little basket, make it look pretty. But yeah, it's coming out June 13th. I'm really excited about it.
And what's your social media in case, so that people can follow you?
Sure. So you can go to couplemoney.com, which has everything. And on social media, try to keep it simple. So on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest, it's Couple Money, all one word smushed.
Thank you, Elle, so much. I am so proud of you. You've worked your butt off on this. I know it's going to be a huge success. As a person who looks forward to being in a couple, to being married in the future, it is definitely a resource that I'm going to look at, work through, and think about as I prepare my money for that moment when I'm eventually in a couple.
Yeah.
I don't know awesome. When that's going to happen, but it's happening soon. It's on my list.
Hey, awesome. You put it on the vision board, right?
It's on the vision board.
I know.
Board.
You turned me on to the vision board thing now.
I'll include a link to the vision board as well. So thank you so much. You guys, please do pick this up. Please do share this with your friends. I have a number of friends who are getting married this year, and I think that it's just a great resource. Again, not just the book. It has to be book with something else. Like
yes, please.
A crystal vase, a Vitamix, you know, an espresso machine, a trip somewhere. But your money as a single woman, there's a point where it may not be just your money. Elle did mention that she helped with her family when she was single. Actually when she was married. So our money doesn't just exist in this plane of it's only ours. And I think it's important to kind of think about that as you pay off debt, save your money, prepare for retirement, making those financial moves so that one day when someone needs help, or one day you're with someone, or one day you might be single and have kids, who knows? But that you have the best financial life that you can possibly have, or at least are creating the foundation for that. For this episode of Girl Gone Frugal, again, I'm so glad that we spoke with Elle. No more pod fade. I'm looking forward to also running a panel at Podcast Movement this summer with Elle and two other fabulous panelists. So if you are attending Podcast Movement, do make sure to check out that panel, and we'll talk to you about that later. So with that, any last things that you want to share?
Well, I wish everybody the best success this year. I want this to be their best year ever. And if you have any questions, please reach out to me on any of the social media channels. I'd love to help you. And thank you so much, Michelle. I always have fun chatting with you.
Thank you.
Are you a single woman trying to change your money story but don't have enough people cheering in your corner? I totally understand. Are you filled with self-doubt about the financial moves you're trying to make and wish you had someone who could give you a pep talk when you're feeling a little down or just need some support? I totally get it. I used to be you, and actually am still you sometimes, where I need someone to reassure me that, hey, my gut instincts are right. And when they're not, when to reach out and connect with other people who can help me with my financial moves. If you're a person needing that kind of support, get your free Single Woman's Guide to Money and 5-day video pep talk today. I realized that there were just days when I needed someone to be like, Michelle, you're doing a good job. You're trying, you're making moves. Yes, there's small little incremental wins, but they're wins. Sometimes I would backslide and make a mistake and I would beat myself up about it. And I needed someone to be like, you know what, you're human. Sometimes you make mistakes. What did you learn? The 5-day video pep talk and Single Woman's Guide to Money helps women navigate through those moments when you're like, gosh, I don't have enough people in my network to keep me going when I'm trying to do the right thing with things with my money. Go to my Instagram profile, Michelle is Money Hungry. Yes, I am, unapologetically so. So it's Michelle is Money Hungry, and click on the link in the profile to access your 5-day video pep talk and Single Woman's Guide to Money. You don't have to be alone. I've got your back. So do a lot of other people. But sometimes you just need to have a video with a friendly face with someone saying, hey, you can do this. Get your guide and video pep talk today.